Mac Sherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.
I am joined now by content creator Jen Morris, and we've got a lot to talk about in the world of pop culture this week. And Jen, when the drama was happening this week, I was like, there is one person we need to talk about this, and that is Jen Morris. Because I suppose for people who don't know, the world of beauty content creators in YouTube specifically has been imploding this week.
That is to say it lightly. It's absolutely mental what's been going on, because the American influencer industry just seems to be crumbling.
Yes, absolutely. So now, say this to us like people have never heard of these people before.
Okay, so it's called Dramageddon, if you want to get a sense of how big it is. And it basically goes around four people. So there's Tati Westbrook, who has 9 million followers. Mm-hmm. There's James Charles, who has almost 20 million followers. There is Jeffree Star, who has 17 million followers. And there's Shane Dawson, who has 22.2 million followers. And all of these people are having a little scuffle at the moment.
Okay.
So it all kind of bases around, it kind of starts last year. You could talk about this for 8 hours. But Tati made a video kind of exposing James Charles, another influencer, on some misgivings, you know, some things that he had done that she didn't think were okay, and kind of predatory behavior that she thought he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, young boys and teenagers. He is a young guy himself, yeah, as well. And she made some really, 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 really big statements. But it appears now that maybe there was someone in her ear the whole time that made her post that video. And that's what we got last week, which was crazy.
So yeah, so basically Tati made this video. She had been kind of a mentor type, mm-hmm, to James Charles, who is, how old is James Charles?
He is 21.
21, so he's young. Mm-hmm. And he came to kind of fame as a teenager making, mm-hmm, makeup videos.
And like, he did her wedding makeup. She, yeah, really, really took him under the wing. And that's, I think, where people found it really hard last year when she made that video, because it was like she took all the advice she'd given him of things that she thought were going to come back and bite him, and then she bit him with it.
Yeah, so her issues were she this is so ridiculous to talk about. She had her own line of like hair vitamins, mm-hmm, which you've definitely seen advertised on Instagram. And James went to Coachella and ended up doing some like spawn with another hair, mm-hmm, vitamin company. That was the kind of trigger.
But basically what had happened, he went to Coachella and he decided to go the second week of Coachella, and he didn't have a VIP ticket. He just had a regular VIP. He didn't have like a backstage ticket. And when he went into the normal areas, he was mobbed and he was panicking, and he knew one of his friends was there with Sugar Bear hair, and he said, do they have any more tickets? And they said, we'll give you a ticket, but
you have to post for
yeah, us. And then that was kind of the catalyst, yeah, for everything then.
So this is the root of this mm-hmm, conflict. So then she went on and said, he's not the person I thought he was, and I've heard all these stories about him being kind of predatory with younger and sometimes straight men, and he's gay. And she kind of read him for filth, and the video was
absolutely
called
Bye Sister.
He
affectionately calls his fans his sisters. Yeah. Hi sisters.
But it was very like serious, and it was big news. So then this week she makes, mm-hmm, another video, and I'm going to play a clip because this is how the video kind of opens.
James Charles has repeatedly said that he wanted to be beside me for this video, but I felt it was important that I do it alone because he deserves my first apology. And I am really sorry, James. And I've said that privately, but I want you to hear it publicly. I did not make my video because of vitamins. I made it as a result of all of the poisonous lies that were fed to me by Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star. James Charles's Sugar Bear Hair sponsorship and all of the drama that had kicked up afterwards, that was just my breaking point.
Shots fired.
Absolutely shots fired. But I suppose there's a lot of questions there, because how much is someone in your ear that a 38-year-old woman is going to tear down a 20-year-old YouTube creator at the time that was absolutely thriving? He was one of the biggest creators on the app. And like, why didn't she do it in private? So it was all a bit like, it's nice that they've apologized, but you'd question how much Jeffree and Shane were in her head.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing I think about the whole video, right, beyond any of the content, is the fact that she was reading off a legal script half of the time. Mm. So she actually had her legal team prepare content for her so that she stayed on track. She didn't say anything that would be like bad or get her in trouble, or that, you know, Jeffree Star or Shane could sue her, anything like that. So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I'm not surprised, because I think we know that Jeffree Star is quite litigious. Uh-huh. And to kind of give a bit of background on Jeffree Star, he started as like a beauty blogger. He has a wildly successful cosmetic line. And I believe he did some like a video with Shane Dawson, like a crossover thing or whatever.
It was like a documentary.
Yeah.
Like Jeffree Star has been omnipresent. If you think of internet and internet culture, Jeffree Star has been around since MySpace.
Yeah.
Like, he was huge on MySpace. He had like a music career, then he went into beauty. There was all these things, but like his past is very sketchy.
Yeah.
And he's been quote unquote cancelled so many times. So when people become friendly with him, especially someone like Tati, who's so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
People question like why are you aligning yourself with this person? But yeah, so apparently like he's a scary, scary man.
Yeah.
From what she was saying as well, she kind of spoke about the fact that he has dirt on everybody.
Yeah.
And that she actually feared for her safety.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Wild. And then Shane Dawson is kind of a strange character in this, because he's not really a beauty content creator, is he?
No.
So give us a look, because he has been recently cancelled.
Yeah, so Shane
term.
Dawson is one of those ones as well that was been there since kind of YouTube started growing first. So he started creating around 2009. So he's been one of those like comedy creators similar to Jenna Marbles in that kind of vein, where he would have made short sketches and things like that as well. And obviously 22 million followers, he massively popular, has completely made bank. But in the last few years, he has kind of shifted towards like documentary style pieces. So as we were saying, he did a piece with Jeffree kind of talking about his life. He did one with Jake Paul. He did one with a girl called Eugenia Cooney, who has an eating disorder. And they are actually like, they're fantastic pieces of work. But he made a huge statement about the beauty industry about 2 weeks ago, about how fake it was and how he was leaving the beauty industry. But he was never really part of the beauty industry.
Mm.
He kind of dipped his toe in, brought a palette out with Jeffree, and they became very, very friendly. And that's where his trouble really started this week. Like he... like,
but that's also coming after, like, last week his whole thing was that he had posted, like, he used to do videos in blackface and he'd made some really, like, I think he was maybe trying to be funny, but some definitely questionable comments about pedophilia.
Yeah.
He, the Smith family, as in Will and Jada, are furious with him because he did some really gross kind of stuff with a poster of Willow Smith when she was 13. Like, he's a strange person.
He's very weird.
Within this Tati thing, Tati describes how she came to kind of trust him and why he had an influence on her. Let's have a listen to this.
Shane came over one afternoon in April and I opened up and shared things that I've only shared with my closest of friends. I shared that I had been the victim of sexual assault. I spoke about my faith and told him how deeply I feel for others. He shared with me that he was an empath and that he could feel all of my pain. He pledged his unending friendship and loyal to me forever in this life and in the next one. He told me that God had called me to be a beacon of light for the world so that it could be a better place.
Okay, so pause for a second, because then Shane posted or did a live or something of him watching the video, and this is him watching that.
As a victim of abuse myself.
Oh my God. You are so manipulative.
Think of facing public.
You're fake. You're fake crying. You are fake crying. You are fake crying. That is not real. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is kind of all an ad for shutting down the internet. It is so toxic and poisonous and like bizarre.
He had a complete meltdown. He did himself no favours by going on live. He reacted to the video straight away. You could see he was hot. He was bothered. And his partner was actually telling him, get off live, get off live, shut it down. But he, people are really coming from now. I think this is where people have really kind of stuck their oar in now, because in that he said, well, I was assaulted, I was molested. But he's spoken many times in the past about he wasn't, and how he said these things for maybe attention.
Yeah.
So then for him to say, oh, well, I was actually, that happened to me as well. But you actually said that it didn't happen to you. So which is the truth, Shane, you know?
Yeah.
And like people are really, really digging into his past now. And I think it's going to be very hard for him to come back, especially for like, there was one part, you know, him saying he's an empath and all these things as well. There was one part in the Tati video, which was very, very interesting. Tati didn't want to post the video, the original Boy Sisters video, because she knew James was on tour. She knew he was on a high level of a building. She was worried that he might, you know, do something he would regret. And Shane was like, he's a narcissist. He'll never do something like that. So it was funny that if he was such an empath, why would he say something like, oh, he's a narcissist. Like, he'll never do that.
I think, like the thing is, it's not unfeasible that someone would say for their entire life that they had never experienced abuse and that they actually might have, and they may only get to a point where they feel comfortable talking about it later in life. But it's that this particular person is has contradicted himself so many times and just seems to be very kind of dodgy.
No, the problem is he actually came out and apologized for claiming he had been abused, and he used it for content in like he made fun of people with disabilities. As you're saying, he did blackface, he feigned sex acts on children, all these things, and like
He's bad news.
He's bad news.
And I've been thinking as well, because he came out with this video a couple of weeks ago, and so did Jenna Marbles, who's another content creator. And Jenna Marbles, I watched her video, and she has been around for years on YouTube, and she came out and actually showed with her laptop on camera, like, this sketch, like, from however many years ago. She did one where she was being Nicki Minaj, and she said, you know, this is basically blackface. I don't think that's okay now.
No.
It's, you know, I've made it private. But she like owned up to everything and said, I actually don't think I can be in this space anymore. I need to take a step away. And I really respected everything she did.
I totally respect her, because she didn't need to be called out. She actually decided, look, I'm going to show you videos that I have privated that aren't on my page anymore, that I made some poor decisions in the past. Yeah. And I want you to know that I am a human being. Because the thing is, when all the drama was happening, a lot of people were saying, oh, Jenna, like, stan an unproblematic queen. And she was like, I'm a human being.
I'm not
like,
unproblematic.
I'm not unproblematic. Yeah. Everyone is problematic to some extent.
So, but then I feel really sorry for her, because then Shane Dawson basically came out and was like, oh, I'm not going to make content either, just like Jenna. So now all of a sudden, Jenna and Shane are being spoken about in the same breath.
And they're not,
which seems very unfair. But also, he won't shut up. He hasn't stopped creating anything. Like, he's just, it's a whole toxic mess. And like, honestly, it all started with bloody makeup. Like, it's
the worst thing
madness.
As well, because I think people see that and they think it's a reflection of our industry. Because even as myself, I'm a small influencer in Ireland, and like, I get that question all the time, like, is it really toxic, or, you know, is it really bad? And it's not.
Yeah.
And I think people get this idea that the beauty industry and the blogging industry, everyone is absolutely climbing over each other. Obviously, anywhere you work, there's going to be people you don't get on with, people you don't really like. But like, it's not this toxic mess that people think it is. It's lovely. We play with makeup. It's great. Like,
and I think the other thing about it is that there'll be people listening who've never heard of these people, who don't engage with this kind of world, and they'll be like, why would you even talk about it? But the fact is, these are people, they've got like 40 million followers between them. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Ireland who follow this stuff and are literally influenced by it.
Yeah.
And it's not just beauty influence, it's behavioral influence, and it is important. So yeah, absolute madness. We love a kid on the news, don't we? A kid barging in. But there were a couple of instances of this week. Yeah, never forget North Korea's guy's kid. No, he probably wouldn't love being called North Korea guy, but I'm sure he's been called worse. So tell me about what happened this week.
So we had two kids burst into famous life this week. The first one was Dr. Claire Wenham. She's an assistant professor of global health policy. I wanted to get her title right.
Yes.
And she was talking about local lockdowns, and her child had painted a picture of a unicorn. And she was very carefully trying to hang it up on the shelf. She tried the top shelf, the middle shelf, the top shelf again. And then the presenter, actually Christian Fraser, he started to engage with the child. She was like, I think it looks better here.
Let's have a listen.
What's your daughter called?
She's called Scarlett.
Scarlett, I think it looks better on the lower shelf. And it's a lovely unicorn. Obviously.
But what's his name?
And do stop me if you need to crack on. Do tell us.
What's his name?
My name is Christian.
His name is Christian.
Christian.
Yes.
I'm just deciding where we can go, where Mummy wants it to go.
Oh right, where does Mummy want it to go?
I think just on that shelf is great. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
I just know that tone so much. I think that's absolutely fine. That's right there. That's fine, great. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny though, because like my nephew is too, and he's gotten to the stage now where he draws something, he goes straight to my mom's fridge and puts it on with the magnet.
Oh, it's very important.
It. He's like, this is where it belongs.
Yeah, that's all part of the drawing picture experience. But Christian dealt with it so well.
I love that. He just engaged with her. Like, she's a little human. Like, she's not causing any trouble at all. Like, it's
and
so funny.
And this is the world we live in, and people understand that.
And everyone is working from home, you know?
But the Sky News response was a little bit different.
Yeah. So, like, Deborah Haynes, she's the foreign editor, I believe, of Sky. And she was on, and her child came in asking for a biscuit.
Let's have a listen.
Minister David Cameron was talking about... Oh, I'm really sorry. That's my son arriving.
Me?
Sorry. I'm really embarrassed. Sorry. Hold on one second.
Can I have two biscuits?
Yes, you can have two biscuits. I'm really sorry about
that. Yeah, OK. Well, we'll leave Deborah Haynes in full flow there with some family duties. But that's what happens during lockdown and trying to report in lockdown.
Like, people were really kind of annoyed about this. They felt that Sky News weren't warm enough. But in fairness to him, he did say this is the world we live in. But, like, I felt so sorry for her.
I know. But, like, fair play to that little fella. He is a top-notch negotiator. He knew that she could not fight him in that moment. Take the biscuits. Just take two biscuits.
I know. He could have asked for literally anything.
Oh, anything. And she would have been like, yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah. Like, just walk out. But what I noticed when I watched the clip, though, right? Because I think your man, Mark Austin, is getting a lot of kind of... people saying, oh, well, he kind of brushed her off.
Yeah.
The camera cut to him.
Yeah.
And he obviously, he was clearly for a second, there was like a delay.
Well, there was
a producer
in his ear, I think.
Yeah, and then he
was
like, oh, we'll let her off there. Yeah. You know, that kind of way. So.
Yeah, like there's definitely like every, like, you know, me here, my producer can tell me if she wants us to finish this conversation. And any newscaster can also be told, okay, move on, you know, cut to blah, blah, blah. So, like, you know, there's a lot going on there.
I know it's harmless. I feel like that child would have walked out and like the biscuit negotiation was done. He was like, any child, if you say to a child, okay, you can go to the kitchen and you can get chocolate or sweets or whatever.
Oh, they're gone.
That child, pew, gone.
100%. Like, that situation had been resolved. Now, next up, let's talk about Vogue Portugal, which has faced massive criticism across the internet this week.
Oh, like, it's just, sometimes you see things and it just makes you question, because like, I've worked in magazines before and I know how many people the cover goes through. And
especially
you're like,
a Vogue cover.
Yeah. Did no one question, is that right? There's an image, so the issue is called the Madness issue to start off with, and there's an image of a naked woman in a tub having water kind of poured over her by two like matronly type figures, harping back to that old school like asylum vibe of mental institutes, you know. And people think it's a really damaging narrative because, you know, mental health hospitals and, you know, people that go to like rehabs and things like that, it doesn't look like that anymore. And like maybe 50, 60 years ago, like there was that kind of abusive element to it where you were seen as bad for having a mental health issue, but it doesn't, you know.
Well, the conversation has moved on so much. And then also there's the question of like whether that kind of imagery belongs on the cover of a magazine like Vogue anyway, even if it was like an accurate depiction of, you know, what a mental health hospital looks like. Still, what is it doing on the cover of Vogue? Like, you know, Vogue is fashion and style and glamour. It doesn't really connect.
Well, I think like they could have definitely mashed it in together. They could have found a way to portray mental health and the beauty of mental health in a fashion way. They could have found a way, I think, right? But the problem is just the image is so stark. But they have actually, like, some people think it's good because it starts a conversation about mental health. Some people obviously think it's bad because it gives a bad image. But there are alternative covers. There's one where her mother, her actual mother and grandmother, are like looking after her in a bed and things like that as well.
Okay.
And there was a statement from one of the editors of Vogue who said that it explores the historical context, that kind of side of mental health, but that there is authentic mental health images throughout the issues.
Okay, so maybe if you saw the four covers, you wouldn't have a problem with it. But the unfortunately, you don't always see all four covers.
No.
Like we all know when you walk into a shop to buy a magazine, there might be four different covers available, but usually there's only one in front of you and it's never the one you want.
And the fact it's called the Madness issue as well, I think that's the terminology is a bit derogatory.
Now let's move to TikTok, which I know is your your area of expertise.
I waste days on TikTok. It's terrible.
Oh, it's so good though. So You just tell me about this. We're talking microwaves. We're talking kitchens with no kettles. We're talking trolling, I think.
Oh, she's absolutely trolling. There's a woman on TikTok. Her name is Michelle. And she had her initial video that went viral. She was making like sweet tea, you know, like American sweet tea. And people were like, oh my God, there was literally 10 cups of sugar in it. And people were going mad about it. She was like, this is how we make tea. And because of that, she has started to create British classics along her time. So the first one she made was a cup of tea, which was monstrous. She microwaved the water, put in the milk first. It was awful.
Microwaved the water, then added the milk.
Then added milk, then added the tea bag. And then like poured sugar into it for, I'm going to say, 20 seconds. Like, it was outrageous.
It's just the image of the milk being poured into the warm water that is,
People that pour their milk in first and then they're like milk, tea bag, and then hot water in on top, and you're like, okay, that's kind of okay because
it's not okay.
Like, do you, you know?
No,
bit of hot water mixes. It lets it brew.
I try not to judge people. I'm very open-minded. I really want everyone to do, you know, what makes them feel good as long as it doesn't harm anybody. But I have to draw a line here. That is not acceptable.
If you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for it.
Boiling water first.
I think when you mix it, it lets it brew. But she was basically putting a tea bag into tepid water. Oh, it ain't going to brew. You're not going to get the darkness that you want.
No, so bad.
But her most recent monstrosity, she decided to make a classic British breakfast. Mm-hmm. Beans on toast. And oh my God, I didn't think, like, I was watching it and it's completely trolling. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's laughing. And I was saying to Louise just there a few minutes ago, she lives in the UK. So like, she's surrounded by this stuff.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Exactly.
And then we're all rising to it.
Oh, absolutely. So she put the dry bread, so like uncooked bread, then put the beans on top. But she did mainly juice.
Uncooked bread, sorry. It is cooked, it's baked bread. Like, it's just not toasted.
Sorry, uncooked toast. Just plain bread.
Raw bread.
And then she like did the beans on top, but she mainly put the sauce and a little bit of beans. And then she put an easy single on top of it.
Like, no, to be honest, I would eat that.
Oh no. And then she microwaved it. I'd say it'd be just so sloppy.
No, wait, she microwaved it after she put the
But the beans were cold.
No.
Everything was raw. The cheese was raw. The beans were raw.
Bar her from TikTok.
No.
She knows what she's doing. She's messing with us. And she's still, I still cannot accept these crimes against food. Oh, Jen Morris, thank you so much. You did a truly wonderful job of digesting all of those stories for us.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a lovely week.